Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, time to talk to a president. So, you be on your best behavior.
Hey, Sam, how are you?
How is the Sam Kennedy-Chris Curtis relationship right now? I mean, Sam's on often through the season in the front office report. And, you know, you always bomb in from the behind the glass. And Sam, I don't know how Sam takes that, but
look at this.
Usually with a plum.
Look at this setting the scene inaccurately from Ken Laird, the brand manager of WEEI.
Hey, congratulations on
Thank
the big
you,
promotion. Huh?
Thank you very much.
It's great. No, great guys, thanks for being here. It's just great to have people together celebrating baseball, showing us the passion. Last night was awesome. It's what you expect when you have a last-place finish. The worst thing you could have is apathy, right? And haven't been around a long time. You see the reaction to your on-field performance, and it's usually a bit of a delayed take because we don't get together in November, December. So they let us know that the nation is restless, and there's one way to sort of change the tide, and it's pretty simple. We got to win baseball games.
Yeah, and Sam, you know, obviously growing up not far from Fenway Park, you know the fan base well. I started the show today saying it was a great day for Red Sox fans and the team because, as you alluded to, indifference is the enemy.
That's it.
And for fans to come here, I was saying to Ken, I got in last night and walking around Springfield, it was everywhere. Sox fans have taken over the town. And I'm getting ready for bed and I see the conversations last night. And that's great to have
totally.
Fans. And it's a unique opportunity that I don't think the other three teams do, which is the whole decision-making group was on a stage in front of the people paying to go to the games. And I mean, I know your reaction probably was, you know, we don't want this to continue. We want to improve this. But in general, that has to be something that you welcome.
Yeah, we do. We have to welcome it. And we have to be accountable when things don't go well because we're up there getting crazy applause. And, you know, everyone's patting you on the back when you win and you do well. When you don't do well, you need to own it. And you need to acknowledge that there is one way to turn the tide. And that's to make the right decisions that are going to lead you back to playing baseball in October and hopefully get on track for another World Series championship. But you're right. And listen, so many fans, you know, they come up to me afterwards. Oh, I'm sorry. There were some people booing. I'm like, hey, there's one way to change it, and we know what to do. And probably the only person that was, you know, really upset that we were getting booed was my mom. You know, I mean, look, at the end of the day, these are my fans, our fans, our families. They understand because we're New Englanders. We know, right? This is what it's all about. When you don't deliver on what your promises are, you're going to hear about it. And so it's up to us to deliver. We need to stand up. Take the criticism when it comes, and we'll take the glory if and when it comes. Hopefully it comes sooner rather than later. But it was a great night, and I'm really appreciative not only of the people coming, the fans, but our players. I mean, they came in from all over the world, literally, to be here. It was important to them to show up and to sort of kick off the 2023 season in a social, fun way. They had it went late last night. The guys were having a great time. Most of them were losing money. But it was a great way to start what hopefully will be a fun 2023 season.
Sam, do the fans have an impact on how you guys act? Do you react directly to what they're telling you? For instance, there's kind of been a narrative that John Henry was at the Winter Classic, and there were a lot of fans that were vocal there, and then very shortly thereafter, Rafael Devers was extended. Was there a cause and effect there? And, you know, things like last night, do you then put that in the memory bank and, well, we're going to do X, Y, and Z because of it?
Yeah, great question. I mean, it's impossible not to sort of understand the fan reaction and be in touch with them. And again, especially those of us who grew up around here as fans and then went into sports because we are fans. I can tell you, you know, you try to not be driven by sort of near-term immediate decisions that will please a certain individual or a person. You have to make the right decisions for the short term and the long term. Specifically to your question about Rafi Devers, I think the first proposal that we exchanged with his agents at postseason, or many proposals exchanged going back many years, was October 25th, and a $331 million deal over 11 years does not come together after a puck drop at a Winter Classic and get done overnight. So it was a long, there was a lot of back and forth. We had, I think there were 12 or 13 proposals exchanged, and really glad that it got done. So the timing was definitely coincidental because it was a long time coming. But we had actually set New Year's as sort of a deadline, just because there was no deadline. When you have a player under control and is going into that last year, it's actually harder from a negotiation perspective because there's not really a time where a deal has to be done by. We talked about spring training, and then we said, you know what, let's try and get this done or not done faster and earlier, because there's so many other pieces with the offseason that we have to get done. So we were glad to be able to get Rafi extended, and he's, you know, glad he's here, and we're going to be building around him for a long, long time.
And fair to say, there were some reports that, well, I think one said galaxies apart. Fair to say there were some inaccurate reports around that time.
Well, you know, it's hard because what's your definition of a galaxy apart? You know, I don't.
My negotiations with Ken, we've been galaxies apart.
It'll stay that way.
I understand that. Look, there's these deals, and again, when a player is not a free agent, right, and there's not a blind auction system, and you just empirically know, look, this is what I could get from the San Diego Padres or the Seattle Mariners or the Boston Red Sox. When you're not allowed to engage with other teams, it is really hard to come up with that sort of right value. You're comping to other players, and you can have disagreements over that. It's really hard, but I'm just really glad we were able to match up ultimately and get it done.
Yeah, on that topic, obviously, if you asked, I think, 100 Red Sox fans a year ago today, you can have one for the next 11 years, I think more than 50% would say, I would take Devers, because of his age, nothing against Xander Bogaerts, for the next 11 years.
Yeah.
And so I just never understood the approach with Xander, which was so over the top about his imminent need to remain a Red Sox, which A, creates less leverage for you guys, and B, was something that it didn't seem to jive with the story signing and other things. So I guess, I think part of the booing from my perspective last night was related to the messaging that the fans have been getting. And A, how can you fix that? And B, how can you do more to ensure guys like Xander or Mookie or Lester remain where they have performed and won championships?
Yeah, it's a great question and a great point. I think maybe we were guilty of just being too open and honest about our love for Xander Bogaerts. This is a guy who, you guys probably know him pretty well, but he is just such a special person and had been with the organization since he was 17 years old. And we really did want to try and keep him a part of the organization for the rest of his career up until the San Diego winter meetings. We all know what he ended up getting. And
right.
We galaxies apart might be appropriate for where those conversations went. And so maybe if you look back and say, what mistakes did we make? Maybe we were just too over the top about our desire to extend him. But those feelings were truthful. We really did want to extend him. In the end, we didn't. So that's on us. So I guess if there's a lesson learned, maybe that's a lesson. And you mentioned a few other sort of Red Sox homegrown players that we weren't or haven't been able to sign longer term. I've been thinking a lot about that. You know, look, that's why this fan base is the best fan base in the world, because we love our players so much. In 21 years here, there's some guys we weren't able to match up on: Jacoby Ellsbury, Johnny Damon, Pedro. I mean, think about that.
Now, I remember.
Pedro is one of the most important pieces of our organization now. He was just spent 3 days with us in our organizational meeting. So beloved players. You mentioned John Lester, who we haven't been able to match up with. And then you've got guys like David Ortiz and Dustin Pedroia and Jason Varitek, Tim Wakefield, guys that we were able to match up with, and now Rafi Devers. So that is the hardest part of running a professional sports team, is when you have beloved players that are beloved by the fans, they're beloved internally, when you're not able to make a deal and they move on, that for me, that's the hardest part. And I tell people all the time, I would be a terrible general manager or chief baseball officer because, you know, I love the town and the players, and I am as guilty as anyone, maybe more so, of falling in love with players, especially players who have been a part of winning a World Series championship. I mean, for me, it was really hard to see Kyle Schwarber go, for example. Right. I knew he was a guy that wanted to be here.
He
fit in so well, and we didn't match up with him on a long-term extension. We tried. He obviously went to Philly. We all saw what happened. That's just a little example of you see guys who you know want to be here above all else, and that happened to be the case with Rafi Devers. And you don't want to lose that. When you have guys that want to be here and you're not able to get it done, that hurts.
And I think that what you alluded to several in there that I remember is you must remember the days following Pedro's departure.
Yep.
I mean, you listen to EI those days, it was like the world, the sky's falling.
Yep.
And everybody moved on because the team won.
Yep.
And so the path of this organization with Chaim Bloom and yourself and John and Tom, is it back on track? Is it back where this is the 3-5-2-year plan? And we're not going to be schizophrenic as we've been, whether from Theo to Sherrington to Dombrowski to Chaim. Is this sort of where you see the team going the next 3 to 5 years? Is that organized and well-placed?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I think baseball can make you appear schizophrenic because it's so hard to predict and it's so hard. You know, last year, I mean, I think, you know, for the numbers geeks, FanGraphs had us at 88 wins. They had the top four teams in the American League East winning 88 games. And obviously, that was dead wrong. We won 78 coming off of 2021 when we were two games going to the World Series. So that can look schizophrenic. But the truth is we brought back most of the same team. We added Trevor Story to that team. And everything fell apart in July and August. So, but the plan, to specifically address your question related to the organization being on track and what is the plan, is very clear. It is to ferociously protect the best prospects in our system, have that next great Red Sox core group come along, spend at the major league level, and have free agents come in that are with the guys that are there now to hopefully win now. That's a very hard thing to do, to build for the future and to win now. That's the plan. Worked great in 2021, didn't work so well in 2022. We heard about it last night. So, yes, we hope we are back on track for 2023, where we have a lot of new faces complementing some existing guys that have been here for a long time, and hopefully this group will get us back where we belong, and that's playing baseball in October.
Red Sox President Sam Kennedy, our guest here on the Kennedy Carter Show, just another couple minutes. One of the other restless moments last night was in response to ticket prices. What's your answer to those fans who – you know, get upset at the high cost of Fenway Park?
Yeah, it's look, I said it last night. The accessibility and availability of accessing Fenway Park changed my life. I got to go to games for $2 when I was a kid. My dad was a member of the clergy and literally had a clergy pass, and I was able to go for $2, literally, 1970s, 1980s. Changed the trajectory of my life and my career. So we've tried to bring back programs for every single game at Fenway where you can come. If you're a student, for $9. We have $10 tickets, $20 tickets. Yes, we do have – I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We have high, high ticket prices on the premium stuff. But it's incumbent upon us to keep the low end low so anybody can access Fenway. You can get into Fenway Park for less than a cost of a movie ticket. We also do have high-end ticket prices. We study the data very, very carefully. Fan Index, the team marketing report, has us last year $61 a ticket for average ticket. Not to throw shade at our colleagues around the Boston sports scene, but if you compare that number to the Bruins, the Celtics, and Patriots, they're all over $100. So professional sports is expensive. That's why we have to put a good product on the field. You have to have a good experience when you go to Fenway Park. But we recognize it's expensive, and we appreciate the sacrifice that our fans make to invest in the team. Now, we have to reciprocate that by investing and putting a team that is worthy of their support each and every year on the field.
And last one for me, just sort of a general baseball economics. It seems like things have become less predictable, whether it's the Cohen ownership with the Mets, the Padres coming out of nowhere spending money. It used to be when you started, it was Steinbrenner, you know, the evil empire, as your old friend Larry would say.
Yeah.
And now it feels like you have what Boris used to create as these mystery teams that actually exist.
Yeah.
How has that changed, and has it forced you guys to recalibrate how you view players reaching free agency?
It's a great point, Chris. You know, the industry has changed, and post-COVID, post-pandemic, it's changed. I think it's attributable to owners that are some new owners that are in that are very committed to winning. You see a huge uptick. You mentioned some of the teams, you know, that have been in on players that may not have been in the past, the Minnesota Twins, the San Diego Padres, obviously the Yankees and the Mets and Red Sox are in on free agency. Texas, you know, stepped up. That's a good thing. That means that the revenues are there to reinvest into players. The industry bounced back from COVID, over $11 billion in revenue last year. Of course, about half of that goes to the players, and that's a good thing. We have to keep growing this game, growing the pie, so we can keep the money flowing back to the players, to our facilities, and I think that's what you're seeing. Owners that want to win, they want to win now, and that's a good thing. It does make it harder. The American League East is going to be a really, really tough division. We know that, and that's why we've got to get off to a good start. I mean, it sounds a little crazy, but March 30th is going to be here soon. We have to have a good April and get going, because we know that to get back to the postseason, we're going to have to win 88 to 95 games. You got to be in that range in the American League East. It'll be a challenge, but I'm excited to get going.
Thanks for your time, as always. We'll see you in Fort Myers, and enjoy the rest of the weekend here in Springfield.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
it. Thank you,
Sam Kennedy, President and CEO of the Boston Red Sox.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.